The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
The White House's all-day prayer festival this upcoming Sunday. The event titled Rededicate 250, a national jubilee of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving, aims to spark religious renewal in our country.
Yeah, this Sunday, leaders from across the nation are going to gather to remember where we came from, who we are as a nation, remember what made America great.
Reverend Paula White Kane, who works as a senior faith advisor to the White House, said of this event, it's about the history and the foundation of our nation, which was built on Christian values. This is really, truly rededicating the country to God. What a great message, especially for young people to hear, many of them who live in a time when, you know, religion and God have been de-emphasized. You mentioned some of the names of the people who will be in attendance and speaking. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, and of course other top Christian speakers. President Trump will also be submitting a video message. So this is going to be a really big thing.
But you see, this top official said that we must humble ourselves and pray, but he left out the most critical part of that verse about turning from our wicked ways. Now, that's the way the Bible expresses it. Do we believe God, and do we believe what is happening before our eyes in our land, in America, in Britain, in the Jewish nation, and in other nations in the world? God says, and God is a liar if he wouldn't do this. And you know that can't be true if you know God. But he says, you do this and I will heal your land. And just a total promise from God. Without any added statements or qualification. You see, you can't omit any words. Jesus Christ said we have to live by every word. But if we do that, God says, I will heal your land.
Hello, welcome back to the Trumpet Daily. I guess we can't remove the epic closing music on that Key of David clip, but that was a clip from a program back in 2017 that Mr. Fleury gave about when Mike Pence left out those words in 2 Chronicles 7:14, as we've explained many times on this show. The clip before that was a Fox News bit about the events this coming Sunday, and that host said, this is about truly rededicating the country to God. That video was titled on YouTube, Religion Returns, and it's all about the events that are happening this Sunday. A lot of people excited about religion. And is this really solving the problem, though? You look at, they're going to have a 9-hour prayer festival, but it's just this hodgepodge of all different religious leaders from all different denominations. And when it comes down to it, none of them really agree on anything. And I'll get to that at the end of this show. It's why there's so many different variations, because, well, there's one group that we'll get into in a little bit. Well, the leader of this one didn't want to listen to the previous leader, so they start another group. And apparently this is America being unified. But if we just talk about God, and if we just say we're reading the Bible, if we get together and read it for a week, but don't do what it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, repent and turn. Well, in that way, this religious resurgence, as Mr. Fleury has explained, is a very bad turn for this country. This Sunday, America has its rededicate. Well, I think the event is called Rededication. Oh, I didn't write it down. Something about rededicate to God. But they're going to have a 9-10 hour prayer festival on the big lawn outside of the or what is that called? The Grand Mall. And there's all sorts of tents and booths being set up for this huge event. I think hundreds of thousands of people will be there. And then you contrast that with what will be happening on our campus on Sunday. We'll be having our commencement ceremony for the graduates of Armstrong College. And this is an institution that will actually solve problems. It doesn't just have vain, empty words. It doesn't just talk about God. It does. It's about showing how to really solve problems. It's about true education, as we'll get to at the end of this show. Thank you for joining us on this Friday morning. Like I said, it's a very busy time of the year with graduation weekend coming up, trying to get grades in, and all of the speaking that Mr. Stephen Fleury will be doing this weekend as well. He's busy preparing for all of that. If you have comments for the show, as usual, send those to td@thetrumpet.com. You can watch us live on Rumble or YouTube or your favorite podcast app. I've got a lot of different stories for you today. So as President Trump sometimes says, you have to do the weave. So we're going to weave in and out of some stories. Hopefully there's a thread that finds its way through there that ties them all together. I wanted to start just with some news out of Britain. It looks like Keir Starmer is going to possibly step down as prime minister. So this would be, I think that would be the sixth or fifth prime minister that Britain has had within just the last 10 years. Now, it's, as usual, British politics can get sort of comical. The ones that they're looking at as a possible successor, his name is Andy Burnham, and he's currently the mayor of Manchester, super popular Labour politician, but you have to be a member of Parliament in order to become prime minister. So their calculation is he's got the best chance of becoming the new leader of the Labour Party, which would make him the new prime minister. The problem is he needs to become a member of Parliament. So it just so happens that there's this by-election in a district in his area where now he can run for that seat. So it's saying, okay, Andy, you go and run for that seat, and then you can be a member of Parliament. We'll work you up to being prime minister. And now the problem is this area is just being overrun by Reform, which is the Nigel Farage party. So there isn't this area that he's going to be running in. I think it's called Makerfield. I have it somewhere here in my notes. At any rate, it's this Labour stronghold since the 80s, early 80s. And now they're saying, well, it's not really a guarantee he's going to get it. It looks like Reform could be pretty close to winning that seat. Now, it might come down to not getting it. But again, it's comical that this could be the next leader, but he can't even win in this tiny little district against the resurgent Reform Party. And then this just throws, again, Britain into this leadership gap. This is from The Week. It says, this is a high-stakes gamble for everyone involved, said Tim Shipman in The Spectator. But then in Labour politics right now, everything is. The Makerfield seat is far from safe, despite being held by Labour since it was created in 1983. Simmons won with a majority of only around 6,000 over Reform in 2024. So that was the year that Starmer and Labour mopped up and, well, didn't really mop up. I mean, they won kind of by accident because Reform took so many votes away from the Conservatives. At any rate, you've got, since 2016, since the Brexit vote, there was Theresa May, Boris Johnson, Liz Truss for, I think that was like a month, Rishi Sunak, Keir Starmer, and now possibly another leader. New York Times says Britain has had five leaders in a decade. Is it about to get another? When Prime Minister Keir Starmer led the Labour Party to victory in Britain's last general election in 2024, he campaigned on a platform of stability, selling his party as the antidote to years of chaos under a succession of conservative prime ministers. Now Labour's promise of steady governance seems under threat as Mr. Starmer battles calls for his resignation from his own party after it suffered heavy losses in local elections last week. So Starmer is, as Labour is discovering, is clearly not what they need in order to win elections. They look at this man Burnham as, well, he's the solution, but there's no guarantee that they can get him through. It just reminded me of these verses in Isaiah 3, verses 1 through 3, and the leadership gap in the nations, the modern nations of Israel. And now it's even at the point where they just struggle to even find a leader. Never mind the quality, of the leader. Isaiah 3, verse 1, "For behold, the Lord of hosts, does take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator." We don't have good leaders. We can't even have them hold office, even if they're bad. It's just this leadership crisis in the modern nations of Israel. And then you contrast that with these Gentile powers. You look at Vladimir Putin in Russia. He's been leader there since 1999, over 26 years. There was the gap where Medvedev came in, but he was just basically Putin's puppet. Xi Jinping has been in charge for 13 years. These strong men, I mean, they hold their position and they do good, I guess you could say, in their own warped view for their nation. But in our countries, it's hard to get a solid leader, not saying that the solution is to have a dictator like in Russia or China. At any rate, doing the weave in Cuba, there is they're talking about possibly arresting Raul Castro. And this is basically, it seemed like this was inevitable once President Trump went into Venezuela, that some of these other South American nations would be next, or these Caribbean countries like Cuba. This is from CBS. U.S. moving to indict Cuba's Raul Castro, sources say. The U.S. is taking steps to indict Raul Castro, the 94-year-old former president of Cuba and brother of Fidel, in connection with the downing of planes 30 years ago, according to U.S. officials familiar with the matter. So this is pretty similar to what they did with getting, not Hugo Chavez, Maduro out of Venezuela. And for good cause. I mean, these guys are terrorists, and they should be taken out. Raul Castro isn't directly in charge, but it's talking about basically removing this regime. The potential indictment, which would need to be approved by a grand jury, is expected to focus on Cuba's deadly 1996 shootdown of planes operated by humanitarian group Brothers to the Rescue. The plan comes as the U.S. heaps pressure on the Cuban government. The Trump administration has threatened heavy tariffs on any country that exports oil to Cuba, leading to energy shortages as oil shipments are largely cut off. President Trump has pressed for major reforms in Cuba and has floated a friendly takeover of the country. Now, like I said, this is long overdue in dealing with these communist dictators. But similar to what happened in Venezuela, these are predominantly Catholic countries. And you see the United States paving the way for the Holy Roman Empire. It's fascinating looking at the tactics that President Trump uses to weaken these countries as well. He uses an economic siege. Tariffs on anyone that will deal with them, sanctions on anybody that will deal with them, and he's creating an energy crisis in these countries. Cuba got a lot of its oil from Venezuela. You look at Iran, and they're not able to export oil. Causes all of these problems, and in the case of Iran, it's a physical blockade from exporting and importing. We're in this age of economic siege, and the world is turning against the United States. You look at Europe, and they don't like what the United States is doing. And not that President Trump shouldn't be doing this. He should be confronting these evil dictators. But it's amazing that these are the prophesied last days, and Mr. Fleury has been talking about an economic siege that's carried out against the United States. You can see these powers. You can see the King of the North, the kings of the East, working together in this Mart of Nations, closely allied with South America, where they say, okay, now you're going to get an economic siege. Now we're going to besiege you. And you can see them using Venezuela and Cuba to do just that because, well, now we're clearing the way for these nations that really are not allied or have anything to do with the United States culturally. They're more closely aligned with Europe. And you see Europe, they want to be involved in South America. They just signed that Mercosur trade deal on January 17th of this year. Another important, or that date revolving around January 16th as we watch events that surround that day as well. But you look at the era that we're in. These nations are at war, and in some cases it might not be a hot war, but you can see where all of this leads to all of these prophetic trends being fulfilled. This is Mr. Fleury in the Isaiah booklet. He writes, Herbert Armstrong long prophesied, and we expect the alliance between Europe and South America to grow extremely strong. The most significant factors that will cement this connection are religion and language. Roman Catholicism is the dominant religion of Latin America, and next to English, Spanish is the second most spoken language in the world. But it will not be a union of equals. The Latin American countries will become vassal states to Europe. And you see the hostility just with Spain in Europe, not even letting the United States use their airstrips for all of the planes that are making their way into the Middle East. There's hostility there. These are not our allies. And they have all of that hostility. And like we've explained on this show, then President Trump can still say, well, they're our allies and we want them to rearm and to be more independent, even though they don't treat us like an ally. They take what they can get for as long as America's willing to give it, and then they turn. That's what's happening in Ezekiel 23. And America, Britain, Judah, we naively trust these powers that are not our allies. And I'll get to that in a minute. We just don't understand the minds of these nations. We don't understand the culture. We don't, and there's a lot that we don't understand. We don't understand the spirit world. We don't understand that this is Satan's world. It's like Witkoff and Trump. Well, everybody just, we all want to get along if we can just make money. If there's money to be made, we'll find a way to be friends. Even people in the, analysts in the world can see how naive that is. Pointing out that President Melanie Phillips does a good job of that. President Trump doesn't understand the way the radical Islamic mind thinks. Mr. Fleury goes on, with a German-led Europe, the King of the North, possessing great maritime power, North America will be surrounded on the east by Europe and the south by Latin America. The Bible contains many prophecies of that European power attacking America and many other prophecies of America being besieged. Now, like I said, getting rid of the communist dictator in Cuba is not a bad thing, but if you're not going to go all the way, or if you're going to trust the Holy Roman Empire to come in and solve the problem, well, you're not, of course, it's going to be wrong to begin with because you're not turning to God. You're not trusting God, like Mr. Fleury's soundbite at the beginning of this show. In the Ezekiel booklet, Mr. Fleury writes, prophecy indicates that the German-led European Union will soon join forces with Russia, China, and Japan to shut the U.S. out of more and more markets. As the U.S. and Britain become less and less competitive worldwide, unemployment will steadily increase. The fact that the U.S. and Britain have lost control of the world's most strategic sea gates will make it much easier for foreign powers to choke off these nations' supply lines. And there's a bit of a, maybe a little bit of a resurgence with President Trump trying to get control of the Panama Canal, trying to get control of Cuba. I mean, it's a pretty vital passageway through there because that gives you access to the Gulf of America and all of those important ports in Texas and New Orleans. Mr. Fleury says, God prophesied in Deuteronomy 28, verse 52, that the nations of end-time Israel would lose these sea gates if they turned away from him. The United States and Britain are going to be left out in the cold as two gigantic trade blocks, Europe and Asia, mesh together and begin calling the shots in world commerce. These nations of Israel are going to be literally besieged, economically frozen out of world trade. And the United States, for its part, I mean, even if there's this little resurgence where we do have control of these, you know, regional gates, President Trump, and you can see it on the MAGA right, they don't care about what happens with the rest of the world. Britain's talking about giving up the Diego Garcia air base in the Indian Ocean, control over the entryways into the Mediterranean. Well, Britain did give that up, gave that over to Egypt 50, 60 years ago. But this world is turning against the United States, and it really has always been that way, and America is just very naive. And you can see now where President Trump's kind of setting this groundwork. Well, America is using economics to create these sieges on these countries, and now we'll just go ahead and do that to the great United States. This is from Axios. CIA director visits Cuba for rare meeting as island runs out of fuel. The pressure is on, and just the fact that Ratcliffe is going into Cuba and able to meet with them means that there might be some level of desperation there with the energy crisis and not being able to even have electricity run in parts of this nation. And then Trump set the precedent of what he went into Venezuela and did. CIA Director John Ratcliffe visited Cuba on Thursday to meet intelligence officials and Raulito Rodriguez Castro, the grandson of former leader Raul Castro. The big picture, Cuba is facing a crippling fuel shortage, an economic crisis due in part to U.S. sanctions. President Trump has repeatedly indicated he wants regime change, though a CIA official said Ratcliffe emphasized that cooperation is possible if the government makes fundamental changes. Perhaps Cuba is desperate for a deal. They don't want what happened in Venezuela to happen to them. And like I said, plenty of these South American nations, these communist dictators, should be deposed and dealt with. They're right on America's doorstep. But you can see where that trend is moving, where, okay, well, that communist leader is out, and these are Catholic and Spanish-speaking nations, and you've got Europe that wants to get in there, and America is happy to trust Europe. Mr. Fleury, this was in the 2 issues ago in the Trumpet magazine, talking about confronting Iran. This article is titled, World War III Will Start with Iran, and later on in the article, he says, in the first few days of the war, Trump expressed eagerness to return to the negotiating table, but the Iranians refused. God wants us to trust him, not only individually, he also wants our nations to trust him. If you're going to trust God, you must trust him completely. You can't be halfway about it, just invoking his name or offering up a few token prayers and expect him to protect and deliver you. That's the solution. That's the change that needs to happen, getting back to the cold open. Mr. Fleury says, our world has chosen the way of warfare instead of full trust in God. And if you're going to war in this evil world, you had better go all the way. Weakness in a world full of beasts will get you killed. And President Trump wants to negotiate. He wants to work with these powers that he doesn't understand. And it's frustrating. He goes over to China, as Mr. Stephen Fleury said, who's our number one enemy, and then just yucks it up and acts like, well, we're best friends again. And President Trump did the same thing a few months ago when he visited the UAE and Qatar and Saudi Arabia. And, oh, we're coming out, and I'll get to China a little bit. And he just talks about all these great trade deals we're going to have. If everybody can just make money, then we'll get along. But our nations aren't turning to God. And even when they're not doing that, they're not even wholehearted in the warfare. It's this limited warfare. It's willing to negotiate and deal with terrorists, willing to negotiate and deal with communist dictators, not understanding the mind of the enemy, clearing the way for the Holy Roman Empire. In most of these cases, as Mr. Stephen Fleury said, President Trump does a phenomenal job at accelerating these Bible prophecies. And you look at Cuba, I'll read some quotes from Mr. Fleury when he talked about Obama's Cuba deal, or you look at the way we've dealt with Iran. I mean, Obama wanted deals with Iran, and President Trump wants a deal with Iran. Maybe you could say the motive is different, but if you're not turning to God, the outcome ends up being the same in each case. Mr. Fleury talking about back to Obama's Cuba deal, and he worked with the Vatican in doing this. And there's a lot of fascinating legs to these stories because, well, you've got now this American Pope, and you could see where President Trump might be more willing to, you know, invite him in and work with him when it comes to Cuba. This is from a Key of David program back in 2015, titled The Extreme Danger of the U.S.-Cuba Deal. And obviously at the time, Obama was making just horrible concessions to open Cuba back up, getting nothing in exchange. At least Trump does try to exercise some leverage to get changes made. But if the communist power dictator stays in power, well, that's not a victory. And even if they're deposed and you get the Holy Roman Empire and Germany coming in there, that's not a victory either. You guys can, you can play these clips together from this Key of David. It's clip 2 and 3.
Many authorities today believe that the closest the U.S. ever came to having a nuclear war was in late 1962. At that time, the Russians had been placing missiles inside of Cuba, and the U.S. discovered that, and those nuclear or those missiles could have had nuclear warheads on them. So it was a very, very dangerous situation. Cuba is 90 miles from the U.S., so this has to present a grave crisis even today if there were to be nuclear warheads fired from Cuba. 90 miles from the U.S. Imagine having missiles with nuclear warheads that could reach America in seconds. You don't know what is going on behind the scenes, but what if maybe there's a European power even more interested in Cuba than Russia is, or China? And we're talking about cyber warfare today to add to that terrible possibility that I just discussed. Did you know in your Bible it also prophesies that there's going to be a siege that is going to do just unimaginable damage to the house of Israel in the end time? And now our booklet on He Was Right explains that in great detail. And you need to understand that because that's another dimension to what could happen if our enemy or our lovers, let's say, get control of Cuba. It is our lovers that is going to do us damage, not Russia or China. And that is prophesied too.
Those clips are amazing. It's not, and Mr. Armstrong said the same thing. It's not Russia that America has to worry about. It's Germany. It's the Holy Roman Empire. And he says, wait, what if maybe there's a European power more interested in Cuba than Russia is? In Europe, they can come in with flatteries, just like that Daniel 8 strongman will come in, and they can seem like our allies, and they can be the lover and say all the right things. Hey, we'll take care of that for you. You look at how they're able to get this massive trade deal with South American nations, the Mercosur trade deal, and President Trump, he's working so hard to negotiate all these trade deals with everybody and just alienating everybody, and can hardly get a tiny little agreement on some just importing cars or whatever it is. Meanwhile, Europe and South America are able to work together like that. I guess the arrangement had been in the works for many years. But you see, as Bible prophecy talks about, how those nations align with the Holy Roman Empire. And it's the nations we think are our allies that do the most damage, not the ones that we think are our number one enemies, China, Russia, Iran. It's being naive. It's not turning to God and getting God's guidance and direction. I'll read some of the verses, and I was going through a few of them this morning, and just reading the Proverbs. And that's about the verses I was reading. I'll read them to you in a little bit. They're just about a father trying to give advice to his son and help direct his path in life and set him on the right course. And our nations, we want to do that ourselves. Well, I know what to do. I know how to handle it. It's so irritating when you hear President Trump say something like, well, what's the difference in this deal? And President Trump doesn't say, well, we beseeched God and God is involved in this. And I want to get God's input and I want to make sure I'm walking with God. The difference maker, he says, is me. It's appalling, that sort of attitude and mindset. God wants humility. He wants us to turn to him. And then like it says in 2 Chronicles 7, like Mr. Fleury said, then your land will be healed. There will be blessings. These geopolitical issues will work out. Man just complicates everything, makes it more complicated than it needs to be. Like I said, Obama, he tried to make his deals, again, to hurt the United States. President Trump's trying to make his deals to help the United States. But if God's not there, if God's not involved, you get the same result, and that's destruction. Mr. Fleury, in this article, The Deadly Dangerous U.S.-Cuba Deal, says, modern Cuba is a communist nation, but it has only been communist for about 50 years, less than a lifetime. It has been a Catholic country for almost 500 years. Today, between 60 and 65% of Cubans say they are Catholic, so it's clear that the church's influence remains deeply entrenched. Fidel Castro is close to death. This was 11 years ago, amazingly. And Raul Castro is quite old. So the political equation could change radically in the next few years or even months. If enormous changes occur, the Vatican could gain real power in Cuba. And that's what we're looking at. And maybe this looks good for America for a moment, but you see the trend line that it's moving on. There's a religious resurgence everywhere. And you can see that that's not a good thing when it's false religion, when it's the wrong religion. You look at just how all of these prophecies are just aligning Russia and China at the moment. They seem like they're in a weakened position with the Iran war, with the war in Ukraine. And then you see Europe ascendant. And that's going to make them react as well. When you see Germany, when they see Germany switching on the defense industry and keeping those tanks and keeping those weapons for themselves. And there's that brief alliance, there's that Mart of Nations to take out the great Satan, to take out the United States. All of these prophecies coming to pass, but you look at silly dove Ephraim in the middle of it. You look at the United States, and like I said earlier, we don't know what we're dealing with. We're dealing with nations that we think are our allies that hate us. This is a clip from a Key of David program Mr. Fleury gave in 2022. It's titled The Times of the Gentiles, and he talks about how these leaders think. He talks about how the leaders in Iran and Russia and China think that President Trump is so eager to be friendly with. This is clip 7.
They want to rule the world. If you look at Daniel, you have four great powers that are called beasts ruling over all mankind for 6,000 years. And they are called beasts because they act like violent beasts of the world, animals. They are that vicious and that violent, and we need to be aware of that. When these evil men get control of these nations, they become like vicious, ferocious beasts. And you can't work a diplomatic process with them. You can't do that. That's not what they're interested in. They're interested in ruling the world like Adolf Hitler in World War II. He kept negotiating with Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain to make peace, and Chamberlain kept giving up this and this and this and more and more and more, and it Hitler always broke his promises and he lied all the time. These men are like beasts. And we need help from God. That's the solution here. A good diplomat is never going to win over the minds of these people.
You can't win them over. Chamberlain tried it. You can't work a diplomatic process with them. They lie. They lie as a way of life. They'll lie right to your face. It's frustrating when President Trump goes over to China and talks about how We're really good friends, and we can get along here. China's running forced labor camps, slave camps, with millions of people in them as we speak. They steal from the United States all the time. There was another mayor in California, I think, that was, she either resigned or was arrested, but basically admitted, yeah, I take orders from the Communist Party in China. They dispatch spies throughout our country to undermine our national security. And then our leaders, boy, they'll work so hard to get a deal, a trade deal, with an evil dictator. And they'll work so hard at that, but they won't work hard at, well, let's consult with God. Let's try to see what God would think about this sort of detail or this sort of deal. The proverb I was referencing, again, there's verses all over the Bible. There's geopolitical lessons everywhere in the Bible. Here in this proverb, it's like I said, it's about a father giving instruction to his son. Proverbs 4 and verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. That's what God wants. He wants us to go down the right path. And Jeremiah 10:23 says, we don't know how to do that. We can't even take a single step without God's direction. When you go, your steps will be not hampered, and when you run, you shall not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is your life. Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Don't even walk down that path with them. Stay away. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. This is the way they work, to cause mischief. And here's this father just saying, get away from that. Stay away from that. I want to help you be on the right path. That's what God wants for our nations. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. That's what God wants us to do as individuals and as a nation. Attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. And then it's not just enough to hear. You've got to do. It's not enough to talk about it. It's not enough to have 9 hours of prayer from all the different denominations of Christianity. What does God say to do? And you will find that those preachers at that 9-hour prayer session on Sunday will not be able to agree on that. Verse 26, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Think about what you're doing. What direction are you going? What way? Is it God's way or is it Satan's way? What is the path that you're on? And you want to go to God to direct your steps. You look at, like what Mr. Fleury was talking about with how we'll deal with China. Suddenly, we're all best friends. Suddenly, it's fine. And what's the difference maker? Me. That's a terrifying way to operate. That's a terrifying way to operate as an individual, and it's a terrifying way to operate as a nation. And then it's not going to work. There might be a little resurgence. There might be a lot of people that put their trust and their faith in President Trump because things might look like they're working for a little bit. And they miss the fact that, well, this is time to repent. This is added time. This is God's mercy. So that you have more time to ask those deep questions. So that you have more time to ponder the paths of your feet. And to make sure you're going the right way. To not get caught up in making money. Or having the big house. And even that aside, the stories, I don't have time to get to them, about the economy and just how many foreclosures there are. Because the cost of living continues to rise as a result of all of the COVID knock-on effects. And really, that goes back to the 2008 financial crisis. COVID kind of just exposed that in a more dramatic way. But the reckoning is coming, and God is very merciful and gives people more time. Here's another clip from Mr. Fleury, again from that Key of David program. Oh, I think I just played that. I must have copied that twice in my notes. Okay, I mentioned Jeremiah 10, verse 23, Proverbs 4. Again, human nature, we just buck up against God. Happy to talk about God, happy to talk about the Bible, but Satan's nature hates God. It hates that way. It hates having to turn. And it's sad, but there are so many problems in our nations. You can hear the politicians gloat about the stock market and how great everything is, and then you see, well, everything just keeps getting more expensive. The interest rates aren't coming down. The American dream is gone. This, you might have noticed some of these commercials from Spencer Pratt. He's running to be mayor of Los Angeles, and a lot of people think he might have a shot at it. He could at least get to the face-off where it's just now the two candidates. But that's pretty difficult to be a Republican and to win in Los Angeles. But he's going around and he's filming areas of Los Angeles and just saying, look at how we're living. This is the result of bad, evil leadership. This is what it gets us. And people are yearning for solutions. It's kind of like Romans 8, where it talks about the creation groaning for God's law to be administered. You could say that about people. They're groaning for a solution. And the solution is not in politics. The solution is not winning the House. The solution, like Mr. Fleury said, is you've got to turn to God. You've got to get God's help. And maybe this man could win, and maybe it just delays it again. But human nature it's on that course. This is a montage it's so dramatic to look at how wrong this world is, how off it is. And like I said, people just groaning for answers, but not humble enough, not willing to turn to God. This is, like I said, a montage of Spencer Pratt just filming these areas of LA. This is clip 4.
This is where Mayor Vass lives. You notice something? Or here, where Nithya Raman's $3 million mansion sits.
They don't have to live in the mess they've created where you live.
This is where I live. They let my home burn down. I know what the consequences of failed leadership are. That's why I'm running for mayor. For my sons and the rest of us Angelenos that want to stop these corrupt politicians from destroying our city. We are going to get the golden age of Los Angeles back.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine?
Yeah, I agree. It's a good spot. Totally. I agree. But yeah, you tell me. We can go there.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine?
This is the reality of Alvarado Street. At night, it turns into a jungle. People hitting each other, people stabbing each other, people killing each other, people robbing each other. This is MacArthur Park.
But he's still coming back, bro.
This one is standing upright.
Bro, tell him why you was doing it, though.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't want to break my face.
I'm here next where my people are safe on the road.
Okay, that's okay.
Okay, well, let's see your treasures.
Bro, spread out your treasures. Let's see your treasures.
You think I got my white IC hat on? I don't have no place.
Spread out the treasures.
Yeah,
I want to see your treasures.
They had them. They cost money when you got to buy them. 3 cents a piece.
Where are you going to find boats at? There's no boats down there.
Oh, no.
Down there?
No, I'm not going to hurt you.
I'm just asking if you can put the rock there. Just in case you never know, you might do something that you regret. Just
Can you put it down?
I'm not done, Ethan. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to regret.
For 33 years, Adam Stauber has owned this building on Montagu Street, a street that he says for the past two or so years has been overrun by broken down RVs.
Skid Row of the Valley.
Furniture, satellite dishes, and trash of all sorts now block the side.
Someone was ODing last night while I was on my way home, while they were being serviced by the firefighters and the EMTs. Their friends were off to the side smoking their drugs.
He posts videos like that, I mean, multiple times a day. He had one where he went over to this children's playground and it was disgusting. Drug needles all over the place, garbage. And people are voting to live that way, voting for the leadership that doesn't do anything about it, except when the Super Bowl comes to town. Suddenly they have the capacity to clean it all up. And L.A. has been like this. It keeps getting worse. I remember when I went there, I think it was 2013, right when you step out of the airport, there's homeless people all over the sidewalk. When you go to the wealthy tourist areas, Santa Monica, I think, the whole park, there's just homeless people sleeping everywhere. I mean, what a contrast for man's world. You've got all those rich billionaires in their mansions, and then down below is just the average person is having to fight off all the crack addicts and the homeless people. Your kids can't go out to play because they're gonna touch a drug needle. And then it's all of these areas as well. It's amazing. This is where Mr. Armstrong was. It's where God's work was restored. Established back in the 30s, 40s, you go all up the West Coast, Portland, Eugene, that Pasadena, LA area, and just overrun by lawlessness. But is Spencer Pratt, as another politician, the solution? Man's solution, like I've said, they look at, well, let's have a religious revival, and at least they do see, well, something has to change. But it's all just, well, it's my form of religion. It's what I feel is right in my own heart. And that's the sort of thinking that's also led to a lot of wars and a lot of violence. Probably more wars and violence than anything else. This Saturday, President Trump has the Shabbat 250. This is from I-24 News. Tonight is Shabbat 250. Trump's first ever National Sabbath Proclamation takes effect. For the first time in U.S. history, a sitting president has called on all Americans to observe a Jewish Sabbath. The proclamation falls on the same day the world marks Nagpa Day. But the Sabbath is, people are talking about the Sabbath. The president of the United States is talking about the Sabbath. Well, that's a great thing to get into. What does the Bible teach about that? Did Christ keep the Sabbath? Well, we can look at the Old Testament and say, right back in Genesis 2, there's the seventh-day Sabbath. And you talk to all of the preachers on Sunday, and they'll have a million different ideas about what that means or what that day is about. This is from The Hill. President Trump and several top administration officials are joining with a cast of mostly conservative Christian clergy this Sunday on the National Mall in Washington for a prayer gathering billed as a rededication of our country as one nation under God upon America's 250th birthday. What did that Fox host said? We are truly rededicating the country to God. What version of it? You know, according to whose interpretation of the Bible? What about what God says? The day-long program is being organized, this is on Sunday, by a nonprofit called Freedom 250. Its website describes it as a public-private partnership, leading the presidential programming for America's 250th anniversary, which culminates with the anniversary of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th. Again, it's going to be this day of prayer, rededicating America to God in all the different forms, I guess, all their different interpretations of God and what he wants. One of the speakers at this ceremony that we'll be looking out for is Lou Engles. Lou Engles, he worked with Che On in the early 80s, and eventually I don't think he wanted to stay under Che On, so he started his own group. But back in the 80s, they talked about having to, they were in the Pasadena area, and they said their movement couldn't take root because there was this cult in Pasadena. So they prayed that that cult would be removed. And Lou Engles is the one who said it. When Herbert Armstrong died, he bragged about killing Herbert Armstrong so that their movement could take root. He's going to be speaking at this event on Sunday. This is the clip. This is Che On. He's the leader of the group that bought Ambassador Auditorium, and he announced his run for governor of California in front of Ambassador Auditorium, and he's recounting how he got established in this area with Lou Engles. And notice what he says in this clip. I think we've played it before, but it's, again, important to think about heading into this rededication weekend. This is clip 6.
There's been a prophet in my life for 42 years. And whenever he speaks to me to make a decree, things happen. I'll never forget that he spoke to me, we need to bind the principality behind a cult that was headquartered in our city. And I remember we had a solemn assembly with around 300 people praying, and we bound that spirit. Within 2 weeks, the leader of this cult dies. And Lou comes running into the prayer room with the front page of the LA Times saying, Che, we just killed Armstrong. I said, Lou, he was 91 years old. I think he died of old age. But 6 months later, his successor dies. And then the third successor gets born again, radically saved. And on Christmas Eve of 1994, he has a special Christmas Eve service where he repents of all the false doctrine. They didn't believe in the Holy Spirit's God. They didn't believe in Trinity. They had triple tithe. And he repented before the people and said, we're going to change. And we're not going to have triple tithe. We're going to start worshiping on Sunday instead of Saturday, because they were like the Jehovah's Witness. A few weeks later, revival breaks out in our city in 1994, January 1995, going into 1995. We go into nightly meetings for 3 years. We bound the principality that hindered our city from experiencing revival.
He gets quite a few details wrong there, but boy, when it comes to bashing Mr. Armstrong, they're happy to do that. And this is Satan's world. And Mr. Armstrong, what he taught is the solution. And you contrast what will be happening on Sunday in Washington, D.C. with what will be happening on this campus where we talk about true education. True education that will solve the world's problems. We're approaching the Festival of Pentecost, and that's about training to be teachers, teaching about how to solve the world's problems, solving problems like Los Angeles. That system of education, that was restored through Mr. Armstrong. Those ruins were raised by Mr. Gerald Fleury, and this weekend we celebrate 25 years of Armstrong College. In the Education with Vision, it says, the awesome amount of knowledge man has produced, especially in the last century, makes the head spin, but it has not solved the problems of this world. In fact, our problems have only gotten worse. Science hasn't done it. False religion hasn't solved it. All of these things make it worse when you're not turning to God. Well, if you haven't read that booklet, you can request a free copy, Education with Vision. It talks about, again, just having vision, knowing what God is teaching. That's what will solve this world's problems. That's what will solve your problems at an individual level and a national level. Well, that is all that I have time for on today's program. We'll conclude with the World Watch segment. If you have any comments for the show, send those to td@thetrumpet.com, and we will see you again on Monday.
German Defense Minister Boris Pistorius and his Ukrainian counterpart Mykhailo Fedorov signed a program on May 11th to enhance the development of defense technologies. The program Brave Germany will be implemented through Ukraine's Brave One platform, which funds and shares information between defense companies, the military, and other government agencies. Germany, which has been an unreliable ally to Ukraine, is positioning itself to incorporate battle-proven Ukrainian technologies and insights into its own military buildup. Developing Ukraine-German long-range strike capabilities is a priority, since Germany currently relies on the U.S.'s Tomahawk cruise missiles for this type of deterrence and combat capability. In 2024, Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury wrote regarding the Ukraine war, "Ultimately, this is not about Ukraine winning against Russia. Ukraine has become a lab to prepare for much larger wars." To learn more about this subject, read the rest of Mr. Fleury's article, AI and the End of Mutually Assured Destruction. Germany and Israel have established a completely new security partnership with each other. German Foreign Minister Johann Wadephul said May 5th after meeting with Israel's foreign minister in Berlin. Wadephul stated that standing up for the existence and for the security of the State of Israel is at the core of German-Israeli relations, and that they have a common interest in keeping down Iran's ballistic and nuclear programs. These statements follow a series of significant actions from Israel. In January, Israeli government agencies and German government agencies held joint cyber attack exercises. Throughout the war with Iran, Israel has risked military and civilian lives to continue supplying stocks of crucial air defense missiles to Germany. Last week, Israel's Ministry for Economic Affairs and Energy said it wants to ship kerosene to Germany to help with oil shortages resulting from the Iran war. The Bible prophesies that Israel will entrust its security to Assyria, modern Germany, and suffer a monstrous betrayal. To understand this prophecy in more detail, read, "Are Germany and Israel truly friends?" Eileen Wong, mayor of Arcadia, California, resigned on May 11th following an announcement by the U.S. Department of Justice that she had been charged with operating as an illegal agent for the People's Republic of China. Wong pled guilty to the felony charge, facing a potential $250,000 fine and up to 10 years in prison. Wang and her ex-fiancé collaborated with China's ruling Chinese Communist Party to disseminate pro-Chinese propaganda through U.S. News Center, a website masquerading as a news source for the local Chinese-American community. They executed directives from the Chinese government, according to the charges, and sent screenshots and article view counts back to their handlers as proof of performance. In one example from June 2021, a Chinese government official sent Wang and others a pre-written propaganda article through an encrypted WeChat group. Within minutes, Wang reposted the article to U.S. News Center and sent the link back to the Chinese official to show that she had obeyed. China's infiltration of America is significant in Bible prophecy and a trend that the Trumpet has been watching. To learn more, read "Wake Up to the Threat from China" from the February 2021 Trumpet magazine. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.